This is a class on Bitcoin. Bitcoin and its underlying technology, blockchain. My name is William Michael Cunningham. I am the founder of Creative Investment Research and an economist. Now, our learning objectives are to start with defining terms and technology. So we'll talk about blockchain, what it is, of course, define Bitcoin, and the broader category that Bitcoin fits into, which is cryptocurrency. We'll define all of these terms as part of the learning objectives. Then we'll also talk about the impact that this new technology we anticipate will have on businesses and clients. And finally, we'll wrap up with the discussion of immediate and near-term opportunities. How do you use this technology once we describe it? Now, let's get to the main terms. We'll start with Bitcoin itself. Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency. It's basically a form of electronic cash. Going back up to the top there, blockchain. Blockchain is the technology that allows Bitcoin to be a cryptocurrency. And what blockchain is, it's basically a growing list of records. And these records are called blocks. And these records are linked using cryptography. It's the way to think about a blockchain. It's a big Excel spreadsheet. Now, looking again, going down to the definition for cryptocurrency, you say Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency. Well, what is that? A cryptocurrency is a digital asset, which means it exists on computer. And it's designed to work in the same way that money works. And money works, by the way, as a store of value, something you can put value into and hold on to, as a medium of exchange, something you can put value into and exchange with other human beings, and a unit of account, so something that you can define the amount of value stored or exchanged by reference to a specific numerical system, a dollar, a euro, a penny, a quarter, a dime. These are all units of account. And basically a cryptocurrency uses cryptography, which, and we'll define what cryptography is. It's basically a online security technique. But the cryptocurrencies use cryptography to secure financial transactions, to control the creation and addition of units of that currency, and to verify the transfer of assets. Now, what are some other types of cryptocurrency? Going to the bottom quadrant there, well, Ethereum is another type of cryptocurrency. DogE is a newer type of cryptocurrency that's gotten a lot of attention of late. Both are simply financial assets. They represent real assets, money in other forms of currency, and they confirm ownership through blockchain transactions. Now, let's talk about the four functions of money. We just defined the three main functions of money, or the three functions of money that are mainly recognized, as a medium of exchange, something you can use to buy and sell things with, a unit of account, something that you can use to denote the value of what you're buying and selling, and as a store of value, a tool that you can use to hold on to that value over a given time period. And that time period could be years or centuries even. Now, there's a fourth function of money that cryptocurrency brings to the fore. And that fourth function of money is as a means of social control. Everything, and I mean everything, in this culture is controlled by money. Your time, your labor, your ability to acquire goods and services that help you lead the type of life that you need to lead, including healthcare services, educational services. All of these services are obtained in this culture, mainly through money. Now, you can use other forms of transactions in order to obtain some of these services, and that's mainly barter. Barter represents your direct exchanging of services between or goods between two human beings without the use of money. But this is a rarely used medium of exchange. It's a rarely used way that people transact business in the US or in the world, frankly. The main way that people transact business is through money, and it is a means of social control. Think about all of the things that money controls in your life. Think about the behavior that you exhibit and how money really influences that behavior. Now, money itself in the modern age is created by a central bank, and only central banks have the right currently to create money. Now, this money is called fiat, F-I-A-T, money, because it's created out of thin air by political dictum. Somebody says, hey, this government is going to create money, and money gets created by a central bank. So, the reason why central banks have the right to create money is because there needs to be some accountability for physical money. So, and again, fiat money, currency, dollar bills, those sorts of things, is a way to limit people's ability to have access to goods and services. So when you only have $50 in physical money, the maximum that you can spend is $50, maximum now, and not a penny more. If you only have $50, you can only spend $50. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't get, say, $60 worth of value with your $50, but the limit in terms of what you can spend is going to be $50. Digital money, however, is created on computers seemingly out of thin air. So one of the main issues is something called the double spending problem, making sure that when you have this type of cryptocurrency, that you can only spend the amount of cryptocurrency that you have. Now, how do you do that? You do that using something called blockchain. And by the way, this blockchain does not require a central authority to keep track of how much of this digital currency everybody has. The blockchain does that. It's almost as if the digital currency itself keeps track of who has what when. And that's what's so brilliant about the blockchain. Now, blockchain is just a constantly updated, complete, and full record of transactions from start to finish, from the starting point being your acquisition of certain digital currency. I have 10 Bitcoin, to keeping records of your spending those 10 Bitcoin that you somehow got. And we're not going to talk yet about how you got the Bitcoin. You could exchange dollars for them, or you could exchange labor for them by helping out the Bitcoin blockchain, but we'll get to that a little later. Basically, the validity of the transactions is not certified, but on the Bitcoin blockchain. So remember, blockchain, just a list of record of transactions, and the validity of those transactions is not certified by a central bank, but instead is certified through consensus of blockchain computer network locations, or nodes as they call them. A node is a device connected to the blockchain network, usually a computer or a terminal. Every node on the blockchain network has a copy of the entire blockchain. Every node on the blockchain network has a copy of the entire transaction database. And it gets big. The entire record of all transactions that have taken place are at every node, every location, every computer or terminal that is on the blockchain network. That record is distributed. And everybody has the same copy of transaction records. Everybody has the same database. So the reason that's important is because that's how you confirm who has what and who has spent what, who's acquired what, when. And we'll give an example of a blockchain later on in this class. So again, the key underlying technology of Bitcoin and of digital currency in general is blockchain. And blockchain is simply a list of records. These records are called blocks, which are linked cryptographically. The blocks of data are tied together with strings of text, actually, that make them immutable. So you can't get rid of them or change them. So these records of transactions are locked into place in the blockchain database. And again, just a big database. It's like a big Excel spreadsheet. The way to think about it is the rows in the big Excel spreadsheet consist of transaction information. Who bought what when, who spent what when, you know, what's going on. And the data is locked in place through these text keys that I mentioned that make it impossible. Let's say this about this impossibility. Now, can you change the data in the rows? We said it was locked in. Sure you can. If you had a big enough computer, a quantum computer or something like that, sure, you might actually be able to manipulate the data and change the rows in this big Excel spreadsheet called a blockchain. But it's very hard to do, and it's very, very difficult. So the probability of your being able to change the data is 0.0000001. Now, you have to keep an eye on that probability because it will change over time. But absent that, assuming that that probability is accurate and that people can't hack the keys, as they call them, to make them changeable, then the data is locked in place. And what happens is, once you fill up a spreadsheet page, you know, think again about Excel and how Excel works. You have a bunch of different tabs, different pages. And once you fill up a page, then you move on to the next spreadsheet tab or the next block in this case. And the blocks are chained together. The tabs, the pages, are chained together. So here's an example. This is what I mean. So in this example, this is just a big spreadsheet, and it goes from top to bottom, all the whatever the ending row is in Excel is how this works. So you see the row number 2 there. Well, let's take a look at row number 1. You have the date of the transaction, date and time of the transaction. In our example, we say May 1st, 2019 at 00. You have the region. Where did the transaction take place? Where did it come to us from? And then you have the seller and the buyer. And you have the quantity. So in row 2 there, you see that on May 1st, 2019, Smith is selling to Jones 40 Bitcoin. And the Bitcoin at this point cost $4,286. And the total dollar amount is $171,440. Now, those are columns A through G. Now, column H is a representation of the cryptographic hash key, or what locks row 2 in place. You have to basically have that column H, the cryptographic hash key, in order to be able to change row 2. I'm not even sure you can change it if you have that hash key. It's a complicated discussion. But basically, just assume that row H locks the data in place in row 2. That is column H, the value in the numeric value or text value in column H locks in place the data in row 2 from column A to column G. Also, of course, column H would be locked, but the point is that record in row 2, May 1st, 2019, Central Region, Smith selling to Jones 40 Bitcoin at a price of $4,286 for a total of $171,440, cannot be changed. It's locked in place with respect to this blockchain, this database. Again, blockchain, just a database, just a big Excel spreadsheet. And then you go down to row 19. Let's go to the bottom there. And it says that on May 1st, 2019, at 24 seconds after the hour, or you could use that as 24 minutes after the hour, in the Central District, Andrew sold to Bush 17 Bitcoin. And those Bitcoin were valued now at this new price of $4,229 for a total of $71,893. And once again, in column H, row 19, you see a cryptographic hash key, a key that locks that data into place. And by the way, on the actual blockchain Bitcoin, the cryptographic hash key is not that small. It actually consists of 256 characters, at least. And the idea is that if you're going to try to manipulate the data, you would need to figure out a way to basically reproduce a 256 character text string exactly. In order to be able to manipulate it. That's typically hard to do for most normal current computers. So this is the secure technology that was created by Satoshi Nakamoto, the inventor of blockchain and the inventor of Bitcoin, that was basically created to address the potential double spending problem, which is core, by the way, to the greed that's embedded in the nature of the financial marketplace. The fact that your life is controlled by money gives people every incentive to spend more money than they have. Not necessarily because they're greedy or evil, but because they have needs as human beings. So Bitcoin is a new way of expressing money value in a new form of currency rather than the US dollar or the British pound or the euro. Basically, the idea is to create a new form of money. Now, what's happened is that the digital currencies have really were developed before the global infrastructure was in place. And what do I mean by global infrastructure? I mean computer websites, apps, other things that would allow you to obtain and spend digital currency. This also includes the facility and the ability to spend digital currency at certain locations. So Walmart won't accept digital currencies yet, I don't think. PayPal will, however. And we know that Tesla, the maker of electronic cars, they certainly will. And what that means is that this global infrastructure, places where you can utilize and ways in which you can utilize this digital currency, is growing. Now, it's similar to what happened with light bulbs. So light bulbs were invented in 1879. But the first wired building wasn't constructed until 1881. And the local electronic grid, a local electronic grid that would allow buildings and people to plug into it and get electricity in exchange for money, that wasn't actually created until 1882. So it is here. So light bulbs, which basically are the apps and might represent digital currency, came before the electronic grid, which is the infrastructure, the system that allows you to tap into that invention. And what we're seeing now and why the value of Bitcoin and digital currencies in general have been growing is because this infrastructure is being built out. There are more and more places, more and more ways to utilize cryptocurrency. Likewise, airplanes were invented before there were airports. So you initially had airplanes, but it took until 1928 until there was enough demand, enough people wanting to use airplanes to get around, before you needed to construct a central location where airplanes could take off and land and where people could come to get on an airplane. And likewise, it took until 1930 until you had enough airports that required a national system for controlling air flight. So airplanes, 1903, airports, 1928, air control system, 1930. Now, what's the potential future for blockchain and cryptocurrencies? We completed a survey that basically asked a wide range of people what they thought the future was going to be for blockchain and cryptocurrencies. One of the set of answers that we got to our question as to what the future will be for cryptocurrencies is that a lot of people saw it as a replacement for racist and corrupt infrastructure. Remember, we talked about building electric network infrastructure as well as airport infrastructure. So a lot of people see cryptocurrencies as supporting the creation and replacement of the infrastructure for the allocation of government, social, healthcare, and business resources. All of the social control functions that we mentioned for money. A lot of people said that they thought that blockchain was great and cryptocurrencies much less so, as the survey, I should tell you, took place in 2019. So I suspect that there is more appreciation for cryptocurrency now. But some of the other responses we got were that blockchain for business processes was huge. The potential future was huge there. As a currency, this person thought it was a speculative paradise. And they thought that it wouldn't be good until it was tethered, linked to something like gold or oil. Interesting opinion. We disagree. We think the subsequent history has shown why we disagree. Others thought that blockchain and cryptocurrency would be good tools for public financial management, harmonizing financial accounting with performance, that you'd use blockchain and cryptocurrency to create individualistic societies that do not rely on large centralized institutions that are unable to move fast in a dynamic, changing world. Finally, one of the opinions we got based on our survey was that blockchain is applicable only to very niche, small areas where multiple untrusted parties are involved and there's a scope for dispute. And in those cases, you need immutability. You need a database with records that are locked in place so that people can't actually question the authenticity or the validity of the transaction data. So in those situations where that potential exists, certainly blockchain has the potential to be very useful. Now, this is our forecast for one of the factors that is driving blockchain and Bitcoin. This shows our forecast for the presence or the utilization of global reserve currencies. A global reserve currency is a form of money, fiat money, remember we talked about fiat money, and nationalized currency that's used around the world. And this chart, circular chart, shows the prevalence of various forms of national currency and how they are received around the world. And what I mean is that with certain national currencies created by central banks in certain countries, nations, they have broad acceptability around the world. You can use that currency to transact business, obtain goods and services in more countries around the world when you have a global reserve currency. Currently, the biggest global reserve currency is, of course, the US dollar, as evidenced by the blue circular part on the inner circle labeled 2021. So you see that blue part there represents the majority. Looks like that's what, about 60 or 70% of the global reserve currency of the world in 2021. Now, next to that, you have Bitcoin. And this shows Bitcoin with a small but growing share of the global reserve currencies. Then I think we move to the British pound and then to the Japanese yen. Green represents the Swiss franc, that dark blue slice there on the inner circle. Now we're in the inner circle, represents the Canadian dollar. And then that small brown slice represents the Australian dollar. And finally, the dark gray part of the circle represents euros. And then we move to 2031. And what's obvious by this outer circle, labeled 2031, is that by this point, Bitcoin is the major global reserve currency. The US dollar is the second largest, best used, most utilized global reserve currency, but it's lost its footing from the number one global reserve currency to the second. And the reason why the US dollar lost its footing is mainly because of the rationale for the creation of Bitcoin itself. And that was that in the financial crisis of 2007, 2008, US regulators did not, banking regulators, securities regulators, legislators, Department of Justice, SEC, FDIC, all of these entities failed to actually look out for the public and instead looked out for large US-based financial institutions. They protected those financial institutions instead of protecting the public. And basically what happened was that a lot of people lost a lot of money, just regular people lost a lot of money. The impact of the financial crisis on the US economy was estimated to be $19 trillion out of a $100 trillion economy. And that estimate comes from the US Department of Treasury. So people recognized what was going on. They said, hey, this government is not protecting people in the way that it should. And this influences your role as a global reserve currency in the following sense. One of the reasons why the financial crisis of 08 was so global is because the US dollar was utilized as the global reserve currency around the world. So a lot of banks, individuals, institutions had US dollars. That made it easy for unscrupulous financial institutions, the big brokerage firms, and money management firms, some of whom went out of business during or after the 2008 financial crisis, but it made it easy for them to go around the world and sell fraudulent financial instruments. This is where the regulators should have, but did not step in to prevent that in order to protect the dollar status as global reserve currency around the world. So it was easy for these banks to sell fraudulent securities that were denominated in dollars because everybody around the world had dollars. So they were able to utilize the US dollar's status as global reserve currency to maximize their own profits while distributing wildly damaging financial instruments around the world. Bitcoin was developed in exact response to that. The understanding that there was a need for another form of currency which was better protected. Now, this doesn't mean that you can't sell fraudulent securities based or denominated in Bitcoin. You certainly can. But what it means is that the monetary system itself is not going to, Bitcoin is not going to support your doing so. So moving to 2031, we see the shrinking role of the US dollar in terms of the global reserve currency status. We see again Bitcoin becoming the majority of the major domestic reserve currency. It looks like it's about equal with the US dollar by 2031. And then we also see that light gray area represents the digital yuan, which is a digital currency that's being developed by the Chinese government. And we think that that will be the third most utilized global reserve currency by 2031. And then we have the British pound represented there, the Japanese yen still represented, and the euro. So note that the Swiss franc, the Canadian dollar, the Australian dollar, it's not that they don't exist as global reserve currencies, it's just that they're very, very small now. Their role really has been taken over by Bitcoin. That's what we think is going to happen. And this, by the way, is another reason to support the increased valuation of Bitcoin. If this happens, it means that companies, individuals around the world will need to have Bitcoin. So they will start to buy into Bitcoin, start to acquire Bitcoin. We think that's what's going on. We think that fully explains the most recent price increases you've seen in Bitcoin. All right, so that's it. That's a summary, a quick summary of Bitcoin, what it is, how you utilize it. For further information, please reach out to us, info@creativeinvest, or 202-455-0430. Thank you.